It's very good. Now, let's turn in our Bibles to Numbers. Numbers 21, please. This is a very very well-known story that we have in the Bible. Just read quickly about it here, and then we'll go to the New Testament, where the Lord Jesus actually makes a reference to it. Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers 21, and there's just a half a dozen verses here, so we'll read the whole thing. Verse number 4, referring to the children of Israel. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. It's kind of an interesting order. You'd almost think it would be Moses first and then God, but God first and then Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, nor souls loatheth or hateth this light bread. That was the manna. And the Lord sent fiery, poisonous serpents, snakes, among the people, and they bit the people. And much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee." There's that order again, the Lord and then Moses. "Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent." That is the idea. It's made of brass, copper. "And set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass, a serpent of copper, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now let's go to the New Testament, the Gospel of John. John chapter 3. Now we'll take time to read this whole story as well. And I'm going to start at verse number 1. I preached many, many times from John chapter 3. And it's amazing, just sometimes you see something that you never saw before. And it's sort of, oh, well, that's kind of what I'm on tonight. Something that I never saw before. And it might just help someone here tonight who would like to be saved. So let's read the story. Verse number 1 of John 3. "There was a man of the Pharisees," just a very religious man, "named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," the word of God, "and of the spirit of God, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God," heaven, in other words. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." Spirit of God is spiritual in nature. Verse 7, "Marvel not," don't be surprised, "that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And then we have this lovely illustration of the wind. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Really what he's illustrating there is how real the new birth is. You and I can't see wind. Air doesn't have color. If you saw something pink go across here, I would run out of the building. It's probably smoke or something. Air is, it's colorless. But if all of a sudden you saw that chandelier move, you wouldn't sit there and scratch your head and go, now just what happened there? You would know that wind moved it. So that's really what he's trying to illustrate to this man. Just because you can't see the Spirit of God, you can see the effects, the reality of the Spirit of God working. So that's really the picture that we have here. I know most know that. Verse number 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master, a teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things? Look at verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. I wonder what happened in his mind at that moment when he heard that. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, there's so much here, but I'm just going to cut right to the chase, and I'm going to give you what I have been enjoying. I wonder if I got someone here tonight and you'd like to be saved. You say, oh, you don't know how much I'd like to be saved. I want to be saved. And here I am reading the Bible, and there's nothing. It's like a story. That's Nicodemus. This man is an older man, and he's a teacher of the Bible. Now, how many times do you think he recounted Numbers 21 to the people? It was a story. Fascinating story. Intriguing story. Wow, the people complained against God, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, came these poisonous snakes, and it started biting people. And the people started looking around, and all of a sudden, people started falling down, dying. And all of a sudden, there was like a moment when they went, we have sinned against God. What a moment that was. And then a number of them go over to Moses and they say, Moses, pray to God for us. We've sinned. Pray to God for us. And you say, wow, what a nail biter of a story. My dear, tremendous. It meant nothing to the people that were listening. It was a story. It happened thousands of years ago. Interesting story. And maybe a lot of people were wondering, why is it recorded in the Bible? Why does God even want us to know the story? And here's Nicodemus. He just got so used to saying the story. And he was no different than the people. And all of a sudden, God speaks to Moses, and God tells Moses to do something that's very strange. I want you to make a copy of what has bitten the people. And you're going to make it. It would have been a lot easier to make it out of clay. This is going to take a lot of work. You're going to have to get a whole bunch of copper. And you're going to have to heat up a fire really hot. And you're going to have to melt this stuff. And then you're going to have to form it into a snake. And it looks, make it a fiery serpent, just like what has bitten the people. And then you're gonna take this molten metal and you're gonna twist it around a pole and you're gonna lift it up into the air. And you're just gonna tell the people a very simple message. You wanna be healed? Look to the pole. And as soon as they looked, they were healed.
You say, wow, fascinating story. And maybe you're sitting there going, man, I just wish God's salvation was that easy. It's actually easier than that. You say, what? Yeah, it's easier than that. God's not asking you to do anything. Now, here's the thing I want you to get a hold of.
What made the difference in Nicodemus's mind when he heard the story this time? What made the difference? Do you know what he said? A question he asked a couple of times before the story came. He just found out that he's not ready for heaven. He just found out that he needs to be born again. You know what he said twice? How can these things be? How? Do you know what that tells me? This man got a hold of the fact that I'm not ready for heaven. And do you know what that did? That changed the whole attitude of his mind toward a story in the Bible. It was no longer just a fascinating story. That's why the Lord Jesus used it. This man was in the proper attitude. Now the Lord Jesus brings up this amazing story that he's familiar with. And all of a sudden, you can almost see a story that he had repeated so many times. And for the first time in his life, you know what he probably noticed? What did these people do before the serpent was made? We have sinned. We have sinned. We have broken God's law. And we're dying. There's nothing we can do about it. Moses, go to God. Go and get God's way. There's absolutely nothing we can do. You see, an awful lot of people want to be saved. Do you know what they're doing? They're reading about the death of the Lord Jesus, and it's just a story. And you can probably tell the story. And you're wondering to yourself as you read the story, okay, I know all the facts, but I can't seem to come out the other end saved. Have you first accepted that you're not saved? Have you accepted the fact that you've sinned against God? Have you accepted the fact that you can't take away your sin? And your sin is going to land you in hell. You get that into your head, and the story of Jesus Christ will no longer be a story. He died for me. Me. Oh man, I've been reading that story for years. How come I didn't see it? See the point in the story? Nicodemus, he was so familiar with it. So familiar. But there was something about that night. And the Lord knew where he was going to take Nicodemus. And it was just thrilling. I think the Lord's face was just internally was smiling as Nicodemus was, I'm not born again. I'm not ready for heaven. Well, how can this be? What do I gotta do? How can I be born again? This man is grabbing hold of the most important thing. Friend, according to what? Oh, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. That's where we are. This is where we're headed. It's not a possibility. No, this is a fact that's based on the Word of God. This is not something that the Gospel Hall, thank God the Gospel Hall preaches it, and lots of other groups preach it. This is what the Bible, this is what the Lord Jesus taught. God wants you to hear that tonight, friend. and all of these Bible stories. Do you want to know why God allowed the children of Israel to be bitten by serpents? Do you want to know why God said, do something very strange? Take something that looks like the serpents. You could look at this copper serpent, and you could look at this living serpent, and you could say, the only difference is this is alive and this is dead. Oh, there's more to it. This has poison in it, and this didn't. It would have been so easy for God to have said to Moses, Moses, take the serpent that has bitten people and kill it. And then take that dead serpent and put it up on the post, on the pole. What would be the problem with that? They'd be looking at something with poison in it. Poison speaks of sin. Do you know why God wanted something twisted around a pole that looked like the snakes, but it was very, very different? It never bit one person, and it had absolutely no poison in it. And it stood complete, even though it looked similar, it was completely different. Do you want to know why God's Son left heaven and came down into this world and took a real body? It looked similar. My dear, he looks like a man. The Lord Jesus didn't walk around with a beautiful halo on his head so that everybody that saw him went, that's God's Son. The Lord Jesus could have easily been sitting in an audience like this and you would just scan over him. Oh, I don't see anybody special here tonight. But walking upon this earth, God's Son never bit anybody. Never had no poison in him. Looked similar, but totally different. Why would God go to the extreme of putting something up that was solid brass, shiny, fiery? Because back in the Old Testament, that was the only metal that would handle fire. And you know the end result was? It didn't mar. It just polished it. So different. God's Son had to go to the cross and die for our sins. If he didn't, there would be no door open to heaven. See, when I listen to the story of what Luke mentioned, for someone to think, maybe you're thinking this way, I can get to heaven my way. Do you know what you've missed? You don't realize how wicked you are as a sinner. You're almost thinking that I can give something to God that will take away my sin. You can't. That's why that story is in the old, of many stories that are used in the New Testament. The very reason that that story was recorded in Numbers chapter 21, God knew that on this particular day, John chapter 3, God would actually use that story, which would bring salvation to one man. And immediately upon thinking upon this unique serpent that's lifted up and all the people had to do was look at it, what did the Lord say? Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Can you not see? I can see Nicodemus, the perplexed look on his face as he's listening to the Lord, and all of a sudden you can almost see him lost for a minute as his mind is going over the whole story of Numbers 21. And then he just heard the Lord say, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I'm saved. Oh, someone says, can it be that simple? What? It's that simple. Do you know what you'll read a number of times in the Gospel of John? Every time you read about Nicodemus, guess what it says? That came to Jesus by night. That came to Jesus by night. Would you like to be saved? I mean, this is not a very big meeting tonight. There's no big lights flashing. Actually, I thought you had the hall kind of dim tonight. Kind of reminded me of a fancy restaurant. Now, you could get saved. Yeah. Just a story in the Bible. Something that you think you know inside and out, up and down. Oh, I know that story. Have you ever approached whatever story? You know, I'm a sinner. And I'm going to hell. That's what God says. And you know where Nicodemus found life? Just in a simple story. I tell you one of the reasons I'm thinking of this. I was in Summerside Thursday night and sitting just before the meeting started. You know, it was Dave Burton with his little boy there, the oldest one. I forget his name right now. And I understand he wants to be saved. And you know what? I heard him there was probably 5-10 minutes before I don't think you would have heard him. You were sitting too far over there. But he was saying to his dad, he was getting his dad to, what other salvation verses do I know, Dad? And Dave would thumb him over to First John, you know. And then I heard him say, Dad, what other Bible stories do I know? Do you know what the boy's looking? He's looking for salvation. Yeah, he's been having trouble going to sleep. Isn't that wonderful that at least he's going to the right place? He's not even old enough to find, go find Numbers 21, son. He couldn't find it. But there you are. I was just so impressed with, Dad, what other story? You see what's going on there? Well, I didn't get it in that story. I'll jump to another story. Oh, give me another story. It's not the accumulation of stories that's going to save you. All you need is one story about the Lord Jesus, but have the right attitude of mind. I'm a sinner, and I'm going to be in hell if I'm not saved. Oh God, show me from the Bible what the Lord Jesus did for me to prepare heaven for me. So I trust that will be a help to you. I'm looking forward to meeting this man in heaven, Nicodemus. I preached about him. I think I know a lot about him. But I have a feeling when I hear him tell me for the first time, just going to take me back to that night. Well, Scott, let me tell you how simple it was. Those of us that are saved, isn't it marvelous how simple God's salvation is? And those here tonight not saved, you're sitting here going, you don't realize how hard it was. I once thought it was hard too. The hardest part was admitting I was the sinner. Once I got to that point, it just fell right in my lap. Salvation. Oh, my land, that's simple. So I trust that will be a help to you. Let's pray. Father, we bless thee again for thy son, the Lord Jesus. What a marvelous thing that we have the Bible, thy word. We're thankful for the eternal life that is found within its pages. It's all about one person, thy son. We're so thankful that we're not here tonight trying to point sinners to some particular church or baptismal tank or asking them for their money or trying to get them to live a certain way. We're just here to direct their attention to one glorious person. We think of the verse that our brother has read already. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We pray for those tonight that are not saved, that they might simply admit their sin and turn to the Lord Jesus for salvation. Part us with thy blessing, we ask in the Savior's name. Amen.